We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shara Bitachon, page Reish Tzadi Beis. V'dain, I want you to know. Ki hadvarim eile she'amarnu hem rak lishal sibot asher teva atzmutam leitiv ulahara. We discussed earlier that there are cause and effects in the world, but we have to recognize God within all of that. You take an Akamol, it doesn't guarantee you you'll feel better. We like to think that, God's running the world, but within all that, I got to really do my own thing, and then we give that much more weight than we should. This idea of me doing my own thing. So he says that's only true with regard to things that don't themselves have a nature of doing good or bad. But let's take, for example, avala gneva, ve'agzela, ve'ona'a. What happens if a guy's a thief? You can't just say, oh, well, whatever, you know, either God is in the picture, isn't in the picture, I'll steal. Or he doesn't pay his wages. Or he's an armed robber. Or if a person on the other side of the coin, he's a charitable person, he's a kind person, he's willing to forgo things even though he deserves them, he's a generous person. Even though sometimes to the naked eye, it seems as though the source of success, you want to be wealthy, you got to cheat. Cheat on your taxes, cheat your customers. But one who has a wise heart knows that it's exactly the opposite. Their nature, he says, in a natural way, they cause the exact opposite. As the verse says in Proverbs, the norm for thievery is that it kills the thief. He thinks he's succeeding until he's running away in jail. Goes see Madoff. So he had his success and ultimately it buried him. I tried explaining this to a taxi company. I was out in Katamon 3 weeks ago. I called one taxi company and I asked them, I need a taxi. They said, we don't have anyone available for you. Call someone else. Fine. I call the next company. They say, we're sending someone out. I'm standing out in the cold 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, no taxi. They say, they'll be there in 3 minutes. I call them back. I'm sorry, we don't have anyone. But I asked the guy, the dispatcher, I said, look, I'm standing out in the cold. Tell me an exact time. I'll wait in the building. He said, no, 3 minutes, you'll have a taxi. So after 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, I called him after 15, 20 minutes. I said, you know, you said 3 minutes. He said, yeah, I'm sending someone. 20 minutes later, I'm out in the cold, 40 minutes already. I call up again. He says, no, I didn't send anyone. I'm sorry, I couldn't find anyone. So he kept telling me, three more minutes. As I'm standing out there freezing because I don't want him to honk his horn and wake up all the neighbors. He lost the customer. Did he gain or lose by being dishonest? The first company that told me, we don't have anyone for you. They were honest. So theoretically, they could have kept me going until they'd have a taxi available, right? They could have told me 5 more minutes and then had someone in 15 minutes and I would have even gotten home earlier. The second company lost. Dishonesty didn't get them anywhere. It lost them. Now, it happens to be this company did it to me once 7 years ago. I was standing out in the street with a disabled child and I called them up and I said, you know, I ordered a taxi 5 minutes ago. I'm standing out in the cold with a handicapped person in okay, are you sending the taxi or not? They said, we promise, 5 minutes. Again, same story. But a friend of mine works for them. He told me, oh, we changed owners. That's old news. New owners, it'll never happen again. Okay, new owners, same story. What can you do? I don't know. New owners, same story. People think the best way to get to the top is by cheating and stealing. No, it hits back like a boomerang. You cheat on your taxes. It'll work for a day. It'll work for a year. Eventually, it buries a person. Take, for example, you have merchants. They unload their wares. They leave it by someone who they trust. They leave it in a warehouse that they trust until they can take it and sell it. And it's customary that they take some of the merchandise that they're going to sell and they give it as a gift to the guy who was watching it, to the warehouse owner. Because they realize it's not nice, we're going to make a mint and he's not going to have a penny. So he should benefit too. That's what we call today bonuses, right? this the season now. Yeah, a guy, you did a good job, the company succeeded, so it's customary to share the profit with the employees as well, to give nice bonuses. The Talmud says, in their days, it was considered a way of respect that when you stayed by someone's house, you'd leave behind the... if you'd slaughter an animal, so figure an animal costs like $5,000, that's really the price, and you're leaving him the hides, which are worth $30, $40, he'll be able to make some money on it. It's not a big deal for you. And for him, it's something he can make money off of, he could use. Or in those days, they used to have flasks. So if the guy could use the flasks, they didn't have disposables like today, so they'd come with their flasks of drinks, and then they'd finish them. And technically, instead of carrying back empty flasks back home, they'd leave the flasks for the guy they were guests by. So that was considered a way of respect. Let the guy benefit from being your host. Today, they do something different. If you're going to go to someone for Shabbos, and they put you up for the Shabbos, so it's customary, if you and your family are borrowing someone's apartment for Shabbos, that you buy them a nice tablecloth. You leave them something to benefit their house from having hosted you. So that's what they used to do. Ken gilalanu Shlomo amelech alav ha-shalom al mishu shodet v'oshek morid anashim minichsehem v'u shevet apo shel ashot shotef af Hashem. So you have a person who's a gangster, okay? He's taking from the rich and giving to the poor. I wouldn't say Obama, but you have a guy who's he's really, on the one hand, he is a whip being wielded by the Creator. He is the source of much affliction and sorrow for people. And even though technically from above, it's been decreed that this person should lose this much and that person should lose that much, nonetheless, he is the one who's actively doing it. So even though technically he wouldn't have succeeded in harming anyone if it wasn't decreed from above, but nonetheless, because he is the evildoer, at the end of the day, he will get a taste of his own medicine. As the verse says, the prophet in Isaiah says, just as you were looting others, God says, I will cause you to be looted. Just as you were a traitor to others, I will cause others to be a traitor to you. Hashem says, it could be I decreed that you should loot them, but you went forward with such zeal, I will ensure that your downfall will be in the same manner. And that's what King David said. He who loves curses, they ultimately come to him as well. If he doesn't like blessings, so then blessing stays away from him. Our sages say we have a tradition. One who is bad is not going to be good. What does that mean? If a person wants to be a source of bad to others, if he wants to ruin other people's incomes, so then how could he ultimately have blessing? You have this all the time. People kill the market, right? You have a competitor, so you can afford the losses. You make the prices dirt cheap. You bleed, they bleed. You could bleed longer. You put them out of the market, right? There was a time they had this in New York. The New York Post, I think, was for a quarter. All the other newspapers were like for $2. And then the New York Post wanted to compete. They made their newspaper a quarter. Quarter, okay. So everyone was buying. I think it was the New York Post. What happens? If you're going to get everyone accustomed to paying less, so you'll put them out of the business. But then people won't want to pay you more for your product either. If a person is busy hurting others, ultimately he's going to hurt himself too. As Abraham says to his servant Eliezer wanted his daughter to marry Isaac. And Eliezer was from a family that was destructive to the world. He was a descendant of Canaan and Ham. So Avram tells Eliezer, my son would marry your daughter, your daughter won't marry my son. Okay, excellent question. So let's leave it hanging. It's I have 2 minutes and it deserves a longer answer. Let's just say that from the verses we see that on a Bein Adam L'Chaveru level, they were positive to the world. We see that his family were kind. Even Lavan is kind. Even Besuel is kind. Whereas Ham and Canaan raped their grandfather, castrated their grandfather. You have a situation where there's something wrong in their Bein Adam L'Chaveru. But it deserves a broader answer. I want to adopt what you said, because one of the messages we give in the Haggadah, and you see it has to be an eternal message, every generation and every year, when we tell our children about how the Jewish people came to be, we begin with Terach. So there is an aspect where what you said is true. We're coming to show every child, I don't care who your father was, could be your father was the great distributor of crosses in the world, you know, Terach. But you could still be an Avram. Greatness comes from our tradition, it calls it a pack of vermin. The Talmud says a person doesn't grow to greatness unless he has a pack of vermin behind him. But Avram was telling Eliezer something else. He was saying, your daughter won't want to marry my son. Go see. It won't work. The shidduch won't work from your end. My son's going to be willing to marry your daughter, but your daughter won't be willing to cling to my son. She won't connect with him. It won't work. When a person is a source of bad to the world, he ends up being a source of bad to himself. A person who's always complaining about others is also never happy about himself either. These things, what goes around comes around. So he quotes many verses that indicate this idea that wealth attained through dishonest means is ultimately hurtful to the person himself. And so he says, even though we discussed earlier, there's this balance and we have to maintain it, where we have to do ours, but we also have to remember very clearly that Hashem is running the show. There is a nature within the world, and just like the nature of gravity is to draw things down, so too the nature of certain evil acts is to destroy the doer, and the nature of certain kind acts is to benefit the doer. And this is what he calls nature. He's not discussing some amulet, some spiritual concept. He's saying within nature, that's the natural course of things, and that's the idea of the play Les Miserables, right? That's the idea, that a guy does kindness his whole life. Ultimately, that kindness repays him himself. It's a nature within the world. It's not only a spiritual idea.